Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted tonight to be on our radio broadcast for the study of the Word of God. We're just going to have a short devotion. We're going to have a song, a scripture, a song, and a prayer. Amen. So I'm going to get ready. Just one second. I'm going to get ready to read a scripture for you, for your hearing. Okay. Scripture reading will be coming from get my fix this stuff. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast, her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I have just read you the first 10 verses of Psalms 34. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. Let me get this song together, y'all. I don't know what's going on with it. One minute. I'm about not to have no song. I'm just so tired of this. I don't know what to do. Wait a minute. I could have been prayed by now. I'm sick of this. Anyway, I'm just going to pray. I'm not going to do this at this time because it's a distraction, and I don't have time for distractions this evening. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I come confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I just come asking you tonight, God, to cover our minds and our hearts on tonight, God, that we may receive your word. I ask you tonight, God, to cover everyone under the sound of my voice. Cover everyone and their families in the blood of Jesus. Encamp your angels all around about them to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Then I ask you, God, to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you right now, God, to have your way, God. Teach us, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Lord, work on our hearts and our minds. Let us get a clear understanding, God. In the name of Jesus, Ben, I bind up the strong man tonight. I bind up every strong man in the mighty name of Jesus. I bind up every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every medium, every psychic, every demon on assignment. In the mighty name of Jesus, your assignment is canceled from this radio broadcast and from our lives. In the name of Jesus, I bind up every distracted spirit, every distraction right now, every unfocused mind. In the name of Jesus, you got to go from here today. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you right now. I ask you to send your power down. Let your holy anointing, Father, just rule and reign in this Bible class. Father, we pray and we thank and we ask these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. And so let it be. So I'm not worried about no song. We're just going to read, and we're gonna just read and answer these questions, and then we're going to discuss it. Amen. So you can start prophetess.
Amen. Ruth chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou waitest? Behold, he winneth now barely tonight in the threshold threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie at the end of the heap of corn, and came softly and uncovered. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lied at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaiden. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a mere kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doeth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the kinsman's part to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it be not known that a woman came unto the floor. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when he held it, he measured six measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went unto the city. And when he came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all the man had done to her. And she said, these six measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto your mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Amen.
Chapter 4. Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to advertise these things, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee. And I am, and he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi? Thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabite, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right hand to thyself, for I cannot redeem. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe, and Boaz said unto the elders, and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech and all that was Chilion and Mahlon of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore, and she bare a son. And the woman said, and the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thy old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons had borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they call his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
All right. Amen. Amen. All right. That's all right. Let's answer these questions. What did Naomi want Ruth to do concerning Boaz, and why? Anybody? But say your name first.
Carolyn.
Okay.
Was that when she wanted her to go to Boaz's bedside or whatever and lay down by his feet, I guess, to be his wife? You know, I guess that's their process or whatever. Is that what she wanted her to do in verse 24?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She wanted her to go lay at his feet as a servant. After he had eaten and fallen asleep. And this was to give him the opportunity to redeem his close relative's property, as was the custom of the law. It was custom for the woman to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was custom for him to do that. And like you say, it was the process. Mm-hmm. It was a process. She had made Ruth put on her best dress. That before she went down there. So he could look at her and he can be attracted to her anyway. And that evening she uncovered his feet and lay thee down. And back then it was said that the women in the East, when going to the bedside of the lawful husband through modesty and in token of subjection, go to the bed's foot and gently raising up the cloth of the clothes, gently raising it up, creep under them up to their place. And this was what they did. This was lawful for them to do, but I don't, you see, about this, they wasn't married yet, but this wasn't for them to get married, I guess, you know. They wasn't married yet, but when you go into, or when the man go into the woman, that mean they married. They didn't have no wedding ceremony or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So what did, in chapter 4, what did Boaz do for Ruth? What did he do for Ruth?
Was that verse currently?
First what?
He bought her as his wife. Was that when he bought, like, some land? Verse 10?
What verse? Let me see.
He purchased his wife.
Yeah, he went and he redeemed some property.
This is verse number 5.
Number 5.
I'm sorry. Prophetess Ray.
Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon the inheritance. So, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, at least I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my wife to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. And but he bought it for, like, Elimelech. He bought it in his name. He redeemed the property of Elimelech, taking care of Naomi, his mom, and then married Ruth. So in those days, if the brother died, the other brother takes the wife that he had. But this wasn't a brother, but this was a close kinsman, a close relative. So that's why he did it. He paid money for the property, and then he gonna take Ruth for his wife. Mm-hmm. He the kinsman. Okay, because he married Ruth. And the next thing you know, she bore my son. And the son carried on Elimelech's name. So the second question is, what great king came from the descendants of Boaz? What great king?
Carlin, can I answer?
Mm-hmm.
Was it David?
It was David. Yep, it was David. Let me see. Yeah, that's when it came down the line through those generations. Mm-hmm. It was David, that great king. Mm-hmm. Obed got Jesse, which is David's father. Mm-hmm. And then even to that, behind that, Jesus came down that same line. He came down through 42 generations. He came down through that line, David's line, lineage. Mm-hmm. Is there any questions anyone want to ask about this? This was really good. I love Ruth. I really do, because it kind of make you see how humble she was and how submissive she was to lay at his feet. Now, you ask somebody today to lay at a man's feet, they'll look at you like you're going losing your mind. Well, if I got to lay at his dirty feet, I ain't, we won't get married. You know, but that shows you how submissive she was, not only to Boaz, but to Naomi, because Naomi is the one that told her to do it, was teaching her how to be a wife to her husband. Mm-hmm. We sometimes we're submissive, but we're submissive in the wrong way, because God gave the man the authority over us. So when they say, "Are you going to obey your husband?" you look at him like you're crazy. No, is he going to obey me? But that's not how God made it. He first made Adam, and then he took a bone from Adam and made the woman. And even Sarah, she served Abraham, and she called him master. That's how you carry yourself. That's how you get the blessings and the favor of God. When you can do what Ruth did. She laid at his feet until morning. Now, what kind of symbol that is, it's submissiveness and submission and humble. She humbled herself that low. And that's not low, but you know what I'm saying? To let him know, you the head over me. So you cover me with your skirt. That's what she told him. She said, "Cover me with your skirt." And he did just that. He said, "That's right. I am the closest relative to your ex." And so he knew that he would be in line to marry her, to take her as his wife. And he did. Mm-hmm. It was real good. This, you know, it's a short story, but it's a good story. Mm-hmm. A short story, but it's a good story. Yep. Mm-hmm. So do we have any more comments or questions? Anything? Let me see what I got. Let me just see here. I got over in the book of, look, I got over in the book of Samuel. Okay, let me see. And then it kind of took him back to, let me see, the Lord made this woman like Rachel and Leah. May thy family be increased by her means, as the tribe were formed by means of Rachel and Leah, wives of the patriarch Jacob. Those were Jacob's wives, which two did build the house of Israel. Mm-hmm. I mean, this come down the line. See, those women right there, I mean, they had kids by Jacob. They had children by Jacob. But they was his wives at that time, and they did what they had to do. And they were submissive to Jacob. They listened. They stayed right there with him. They had his babies and all that kind of stuff. And that's how God meant for it to be. He didn't mean for us to use of authority over the man, even though you have your own opinion, and you have your own say-so. But ultimately, the man have the last word. And once we get ready for that, that's when God can bless us with a husband. When we let the man have the last word, even though all the time they don't be right. But who gonna take that whooping? The man. It's his responsibility even now. That's why back in those days, I forget what chapter, what book it was in, when it was saying that if the daughter is in the house with her father and she makes the vow, and the daddy let her make the vow, then he's responsible if she don't do the vow. But if she not in the house with her dad, and she out in the house with her husband, and he let her make the vow, she don't have a husband, she responsible. This how that is. that God gave them that, and we can't take it back. We can't take it away from them. God gave it to them. So, and I heard Ed tell me one day about saying something. He said, you can't say that. I'm looking at him like, why? What you going to do about it? But people perish for the lack of knowledge. People perish because they don't know this word. People. They perish. So it behooves us to study as much as possible. As much as possible.
I have a question.
Okay.
Okay, so if the woman is studying and being submissive to the husband, I'm trying to relate it in terms of today. I can see what they were doing back then. So now, and I don't know the real answer. I'm just asking, like, so if women of God are, you know, in, not, I won't say in search, but, you know, would like to have a husband.
Mm-hmm.
If they're studying and knowing to be submissive, it seems like they would have to be doing the same thing, which is, it could be rare or, you know, in a lot of different cases where the man is, because this is who you're saying you want to trust, put your, you know, your trust in and let him be the head of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it we look at it today with the caliber of guys that are out here today, if I'm saying this correctly, you know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying, but it's still some good God-fearing men out there. It's still some out there. It's still some out there. And God knows just who they are and where they are. He knows just who they are and where they are. He knows exactly what you need and what you want. And when you get ready for a husband, something is, until you get ready, I know you want one, and I know some other women want one, but it's something there. It's something there. It's something there. You just got to, before I met, you know, I know I wanted a husband. I told the Lord, I say, I'm not a girlfriend. I can't do this. I don't want to date. I want a husband. I don't want to date. I don't want you to take me out for dinner and all this kind of stuff. I want a husband. That's exactly what I want. I don't want all that other stuff. So I kept working. I kept doing what I had to do. I kept working. I wouldn't bother nobody. His sister say, that's all you do is work. Uh-huh. That's fine. You don't do nothing else for fun? I said, that's fun. I pray and I work. And that's what I was doing when I met Eve. She introduced me to him. And that was it. And I knew then that was my husband. I knew it. But, you know, because I'm not a woman to go here to that or here to that or here to there. You know, because God was still watching our every move. You know, he watching, you know, I've had men to say and talk and try and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I knew they wasn't right. They was fake. They was counterfeit. And I knew it, you know, because I was a type of person that, you just can't, I'm a prophetess anyway, but you just can't tell me anything. You can't tell me anything. You're not finna lay with me. You're not finna do nothing. So I kept myself busy. I just worked all the time. I worked all the time. I kept myself busy until God, it was time for God to give me a husband. And then he was telling me, you know, you don't have to work. You can, but you don't have to. And, you know, I'm looking at him like, I'm working. You ain't coming in this relationship talking about trying to tell me what to do. But he was right. But you have to trust God in everything, especially with the men. You know, we want to be bossy and stuff and tell them off and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it satisfied you at that time. But then you being graded by God. You being graded. It's a test. You being graded. God said, oh, this is how you going to do this? Is this what you're supposed to do? No, you're supposed to go your butt somewhere and sit down and shut up. That's what you're supposed to do. Because the man going to get it anyway. You know what I'm saying? That's why I try to explain to husbands and wives. I mean, it ain't no perfect marriage, but you need to go to another room. Just go, one go to this one, one go to that one. And be quiet. Be quiet. Me and Ed can say two or three words. She ain't going to say nothing, no way. I can say two or three words. And for you know it, I come back and you're hungry, what you need. Because I ain't got that. We won. And that's it. And so when it's time, when your heart's settled and ready, and God knows. I just felt a way when I got married. I could feel the Holy Ghost. I could feel the power of the Holy Ghost even at the wedding. I felt the heat of the Holy Ghost when I was walking down the aisle. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for Lil John was pulling me down the aisle. He's like, Granny, stand up. That's how it was for me. Prayer. It was. That's what it was. It was an answered prayer. That's what it was. And God did it. And God will do it for any other woman. Just like he's doing it for Ruth. But we have to make ourselves available and submissive. God know when you're submissive. You know, we got some women that'll talk back to you, honey, and cuss you out and all kind of stuff. When we ready, we ready. When we not, we not. And God will get you ready, though. He will. He'll get you ready. So, but these men today, you have to be really careful, especially the ones here in Michigan. Because it's 10 men to one woman, 10 women to one man I'm talking about here in Michigan. I don't know about nowhere else, but I know here in Michigan, and I know in St. Louis and Illinois, you have women, men hollering at women all the time, honey. You can't even hardly walk down the street, and you can be looking like a booger bear. That's just the way they are there. But it's a different breed of men up in here. I have never seen any like this. And I know why, because the women, they do all kind of stuff to get a man. Boy, out here in Michigan, you take me or you leave me just like I am. If you don't, you go head on. That's what you need to do. Take me like I am. If not, I ain't finna go have nothing fixed. I ain't finna go have my lip blew up. None of it. If you looking at me and you think I'm a change for you, no. You got to go find somebody that already changed and let God send me somebody else. But you got to be submissive in order for God to give you a husband like you want. You got to, that's how Ruth was. That's just an example. She laid at Boaz's feet, asked him to cover her with his skirt. And he did just that. And God blessed them. God blessed them. Yep. Any more questions or comments about Ruth and Boaz? I love that. I love
this
that.
This is Prophetess Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say you explained it so beautifully. And I pray that every woman that do want to listen, I pray that they is able to get a husband. I pray that they do what they have to do to get their husband, because I'm not going to say I was promiscuous, but I wasn't a good girl either. So I felt like I was trying to make a deal with God, like, or telling God, I don't want to be how I am, so please send me my husband. And it was in my last relationship where I said, I ain't dating nobody else. I don't want nobody else. I ain't looking at nobody else. And that's when he sent me somebody I didn't even like. And I was looking at him like, ugh, no. Like, I don't know why he keep calling me. And then his man turned out to be my husband. I just pray that God bless the women that's really in need or in that really want to be married. I pray that he bless them with a husband that love them no matter how they look, how they talk, if they crazy, not crazy, if they quiet or outspoken. And I pray that on women, but Apostle, you explained that so beautifully. I loved it.
Oh, well, amen. God bless you. Well, I'm glad, you know, somebody got something from it, because, you know, wisdom come with age, men and women, and when you done been through a couple marriages, you know how you supposed to act. You know what you supposed to do. You know how you supposed to treat. You know you supposed to be submissive. You know, and if you just wait on God, he's not going to send you no husband that's going to be all abusive and brutal and all that kind of stuff. Now, ain't no perfect marriages, but when God do it, it's done right. When we can get out there and we can get one that God didn't send, we trying to please our own fleshly body, and we get one that God didn't send. But let me tell you something. You better wait on God. God, I'm telling you, I was 58 years old or 59 when I married Apostle Dean. You are never too old to get married. Never. And you can, God can bless you with a husband. No? Who is that? No, you're not too old to be married. No, ma'am. You can be 85 or 90. If God sent that man and he proposed to you, you better say yes.
Yes.
Because you know at that age, they ain't nothing but old angel anyway. They ain't going to do nothing. They ain't going to run fast, walk fast, talk and nothing.
Amen.
So they pretty good when they get that age. They just want to be a good husband and everything. So, you know, it's good. This was, I love Ruth and Boaz, and I love how submissive and obedient Ruth was, because she didn't have to do nothing.
Yes.
Naomi said Naomi was her mom-in-law, not her mom. But that's what we are supposed to do. The older women teach the younger women.
And she was married to her husband, and for her to be that submissive, you know, married to her son.
Yeah. Yep, she didn't have to do that. But she did it and called her mother. And then Naomi blessed her, said, go on over there to Boaz. He my kinsman. He's some kin to me. And that's how they had to do this thing. Some relatives had to take the widow and to take it to keep the name going in the family.
And knew she was different.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a blessing. It was a blessing, honey.
She was a Moabite, which was bigger women, right?
Yeah. She was a Moabite.
Good evening, Apostle.
Good evening.
Good evening. Prophetess Sattler here. Just wanted to some words of encouragement.
You know, in just looking at the text, we just see just humility in the text, and we just have to remain humble. You know, so many times, you know, especially when we get older, we, you know, get set in our ways. And, you know, I hear today a lot of young women and then even older women say that they want to be independent. And so for me, God has no room to give us our husbands. And so we have to just learn how to be humble. And this woman really demonstrated humility to me. It was just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And then not only that, but when we pray, and please forgive my background, I have grandbabies running around. But when we pray, we have to believe that God is going to send our husband who he wants for us. We got to know that we know that we know. And sometimes it requires us to do some repenting for some things that we did in that area, you know, that was probably illegal for us to do. You know, and
right.
So I think Apostle already touched on that. But, you know, being promiscuous and doing this and doing that. And so sometimes we have to go back and dig those things out and repent.
That's
for
right.
those specific mm-hmm. things, you know, so that God can prepare us and bless us. Because sometimes it does be something there holding up that blessing and that
That's
husband.
Right.
So we have to really
That's
dig deep and find out what it is and humble ourselves so God can bless us. Amen. And so I'll be praying for marriages. I've been married for, oh, my goodness, 30 years this year, and with my husband for 38 years, and God is good. That's all I can say, because, you know, God is good, and when it's the one that God has for you, you know, God will work things out. You know, God is, you know, sometimes we marry the wrong people, but God, he is for marriages, and he's a good God. You know, he said that, you know, all things work together for the good of them that love God and called according to his purpose. And he's a good God like that. If we want it and we walk it in God and he's in God, God will fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
He'll fix that marriage. He'll fix that man. He'll fix that husband. Just how he wants him to be, just how you want him to be, God will fix it. So I'll be praying for you and trust and believe that God will send that Boaz. Amen.
Yes. No, amen. Praise God. That's some good words. I'm telling you because, you know, it takes God to do it. We can't get out here looking. He said, we ain't supposed to be looking for nothing. The man's supposed to look for us. And then, and when we do, it's our own fleshly desire. You know, we got to let them come looking for us. We do what we supposed to do. We look like the woman God told us to look at. It tell you how to dress from the word of God. You can't go out there just showing everything. The man won't have nothing to even want to see because he's been and already saw every crease, every line, every everything. But if you give him something to even just want to see, he going to try to want to see it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I made many mistakes, but I learned from my mistakes. Do you hear me? I've learned from my mistakes. I don't care if you don't want me in no dress. I don't care. I'm going to wear one because the word of God, what God say. I don't care. And it was many men when I had dresses on when I wasn't married, one to open the door for me. Do you hear me? I've had men to tell me women don't wear dresses like this. When you don't see women in dresses, no more. I had all kind of men telling me stuff. I went to the casino to have lunch. They was flocking, trying to open the door and doing this and doing. I'm like, Lord, I'm not even in a place I'm supposed to be in. But Mimi was working down there, and I had free lunch. So, yeah. But and I had my dress on. I looked like who I said I was. Because when you want to walk holy with God, holiness has a dress code. You can't walk around with coochie dresses on. Mm-mm. That don't get the right husband. What somebody asked me one time, they say, why be attracting the wrong man? Because you're wearing the wrong thing. You need to wear something else. If you're attracting the wrong man, that's because you're wearing the wrong stuff. They just looking at what you got on. And so them kind of men come to you. So you can't walk around here like that. I've seen some ladies here with dresses up. You can just stop them off, see they coochie. And all I can do is drop my head because I'd be so embarrassed in my, I'd be saying, Lord, you know, all she got to do is slide down the pole. And they don't think it's nothing wrong with it. That's the most hurting part. It's something wrong with that thing. If you don't know it, it's because you don't read your word. And see, women can look as beautiful as they want to look. All they got to do is keep themselves fixed up, keep yourself clean, nice looking. I ain't saying wearing no dress down to your ankle every day. That ain't it. That ain't it. But whatever you put on, let it be nice. You know, let it be not revealing everything. Because like I said, he ain't going to have nothing to imagine. Because he's going to be in the scene, everything. And go imagine at somebody else. You've been the Mr. Pride. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I pray for every woman that's looking for and waiting on God. Not hoping, but waiting on God to send the right person, the right husband. You know, and us not trying to go get them because we'll get the wrong one. I'm telling you, we'll get the wrong one. Mm-hmm. And then we got to show enough, be submissive, sit there, and whatever they dish out, take it to God, come and remove them and pray. Because I'm telling you, when you say them vows unto the Lord, you better not leave. You better not run. You better not go nowhere when you say the vows unto God. Because when you vow and break it, that's going to be on your hands. But they don't understand these wedding vows when they take them. I heard that preacher on the Facebook saying, or it's for better or for worse, rich or poor, in sickness and in health. They don't understand those vows. All of that come with it. They just take them and think that's it. But I've learned when you take them vows, you better be happy to keep them. Happy. In Jesus, I'm telling you. So, but this was good. Let me stop preaching about marriages, getting on y'all about marriages, because marriages is a good. Marriages are beautiful, believe me. And God will send you your Boaz. He is going to send you your Boaz. You just got to be ready for him. I'm telling y'all, when I married Ed, he's talking about scoot over. You know, I'm used to sleeping to one side of the bed. He's talking about, you got to scoot over. I said, no, I don't. I've been sleeping here for so-and-so. He said, you got to scoot over. I'm going to protect you sleeping behind you. Man, that was the hardest thing I had to do, was get over out of my spot. Stuff like that. I'm telling you, I hadn't been sleeping there for 3 years. 4 years, 5 years. And now I got to scoot over because I got married. But he was right. So those are some of the sacrifices you have to make because we've been paying our bills. We've been protecting ourselves. We've been taking care of ourselves so much. It said when you really get your husband, you don't say, I can do that. Because I was still having problems. He was saying, you don't need to do nothing. He didn't even want me to mop the floor. Women don't supposed to mop. This is the kind of husband we want. So anyway, I'm done. We're going to get off of here, y'all. I just thank and praise God for you all listening to me talk tonight. And that was just such a lovely story. I just love it. I just love it. So on
Apostle,
Thursday,
that was a good word. Very good word.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Praise God. I'm glad somebody, y'all. I just want to help somebody. That's all. It's a good word. But God is good. And I'm telling you, you can be 100 years old. I feel like God will give you a husband if you want one. If you in his will, he's going to give him to you. But on Thursday, we don't have Bible class this week. But Friday, you know, Tremaine Buchanan is going to preach his first sermon. So I want you all back on Friday evening at the 7:30 to just encourage him. He needs encouraging. He just needs encouraging and need to feel like he apart, you know, because he don't have anyone. His mother and father died right there together. Then his godmother died maybe a year later. So he really don't have anyone. He just needs to be encouraged. So we want to just pray for him. So we're going to get ready to get off of here. God bless you all. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to just cover these women of God. I ask you to cover their families, Lord, everyone under the sound of my voice, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, to move by your power, move by your spirit, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, over their lives, God. You know their desires. In the name of Jesus, you know what their wants are, God. I ask you to meet every need today, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I ask you right now to cover their families, their homes, and their vehicles. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. I love you.
Amen.
You all have a
love
blessed
you.
Night.
Love you all. Thank you all. Bless you all.
Good night.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Stay blessed.
Good night.